Vyas told the Bhagavatam to Shukadev ji, who happens to be his son. But Vedavyas ji got it from somewhere also. He heard it from Narad ji. Narad heard it from his father, Brahma. And Brahma got the Bhagavatam from Shri Krishna himself. Shri Krishna gave the knowledge of Bhagavatam to Brahma. That same knowledge he gave to his son, Narad ji, Devarshi Narad. The same Bhagavatam Devarshi Narad gave to Vedavyas ji. Now Vedavyas ji, before he got this Bhagavatam from Narad ji, he had done a lot of work, important work. What did he do? He rewrote all of our scriptures of Sanatan Dharma. Start with Vedas. Ved is 1 lakh mantra. One mantra is like the one I did at the end of my vandana. Yo brahmanam vidadhati purvam yo vai vedanscha prahinoti tasmai tagvangha devam atma buddhi prakasham mumukshurvai sharanamaham prapadye. That's one mantra. 100,000 of those makes up Ved. Ved is divided into 4 parts, Rig Ved, Sam Ved, Yajur Ved, Atharva Ved, but put together, originally it's 100,000 mantras. He reproduced all of that because Ved is older than just 5,000 years. Ved is anadi. It has no beginning. It's reproduced on the earth as required, but it's an eternal knowledge. So Vedavyasji had rewritten all of that and taught it to his disciples. Add to that 6 darshan shastras. Nyay, Vaisheshik, Purva Mimansa, Sankhya, Yog, and Vedant, Uttar Mimansa, also known as Brahma Sutra. He himself is the author of the Brahma Sutra, but he also reproduced the other 5 darshan shastras that had been produced previous to him. So he rewrote all of that, made sure it's available in the world. On top of that, he wrote 17 Puranas. The Puranas in total is another 4 lakh shlokas. Ved is 100,000 mantras. The Puranas all taken together are 400,000 shlokas. So he produced 17 Puranas. The 18th Purana is the Bhagavatam. He didn't produce that one at that time. So 17 Puranas. On top of that, Mahabharat, another 100,000 shlokas. Included in Mahabharat is the most famous Gita, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, 700 shlokas, an excerpt of the Mahabharat. On top of that, Valmiki Ramayana, the original Ramayana in Sanskrit, he reproduced that, 25,000 shlokas. And after having done all of that, what a gift to humankind. How much knowledge. Everything required for living your life in the world and for attaining God. Yet he was still feeling restless. You know, when you had a lot of things to do and you try to accomplish all of it and you think you're done, but there's something nagging at you, like, I feel like there's one more thing I was supposed to do. What was that? And you can't remember? Vedavyasji was in that state. He's sitting on the bank of Saraswati River near his ashram and he's just perplexed. Why do I have this feeling that something is left out? What's left? I produced Vedas, Puranas, Mahabharat, everything. Then Narad ji comes to him. He says, Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhava varjitam nashobhate jnanamalam niranjanam. You can just assume, whenever I'm quoting a shloka, if I don't tell you, assume it's from Bhagavatam, since all the quotations will be coming from Bhagavatam. Naradji tells him that Vedavyas, you know, you produced all this knowledge, but you haven't given the ras of Krishna's leelas. The ras means the nectar, the sweetness. You described his leelas in Brahmavaivart Puran and other Puranas. He's also described in several Upanishads, in the Vedas. But you didn't put the bliss of Shri Krishna's leelas in that description. It's like a factual description. Write Shri Krishna's leelas with the bliss in there, so that when people read that or they hear those leelas, then Shri Krishna himself enters into their heart. That's what you didn't do. So Vedavyasji, you have to write Bhagavatam. In Bhagavatam, give the whole account of Shri Krishna's life chronologically and put the ras of those leelas in there. Because knowledge without love for God, shobhani deta, na shobhate, means it's not that great. Knowledge is a great thing, but knowledge that's bereft of love for God is not that great. So write the Bhagavatam. So that's how Naradji, who had gotten the knowledge of Bhagavatam from his father, Brahma, who had gotten it from Shri Krishna, Naradji gave Bhagavat to Vedavyasji. Then Vedavyasji wrote the Bhagavatam. Now, having written it, when he's written such a great thing that actually has the bliss of Shri Krishna in it, imbued in it. See, when Shri Krishna was giving his final instructions before leaving the earth to Uddhavji, this whole conversation between the two of them is in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. It's called the Uddhav Gita. Because like Arjuna was asking questions and Shri Krishna was giving answers in Bhagavad Gita, in 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, Uddhav is asking questions and Shri Krishna is giving answers. So at the end of this conversation, Shri Krishna says, now you go up in Himalaya and stay there in Badrika Ashram. He's giving Uddhav instructions. And I'm leaving. I'm going back to my divine abode. So Uddhav said, how can you leave? What? How will the devotees worship you? What about someone who wants to meet you? Shri Krishna says, don't worry. I'm putting myself in the Bhagavatam. So Bhagavat literally means the body of Shri Krishna. Like it is Shri Krishna. So it's a very special thing. The bliss. See, each scripture is divine and it relates to a particular type of divine bliss. The bliss of the Gita is of one type. The bliss of the Bhagavatam is actually further enriched than the bliss of Gita. I'll get into that more later, or possibly tomorrow. But what I'm getting at is that not just anyone could be qualified to hear the Bhagavatam and retain the actual divine bliss imbued in the Bhagavatam. Because if you haven't done that, you haven't understood the Bhagavatam. You have to experience Bhagavatam. So who could be qualified to hear the Bhagavatam now that Vedavyasji has produced it? He was in another dilemma. Now I've written it, who do I teach it to? How do I pass it down? None of my disciples in my ashram to whom I've taught Vedas, Vedant, other 17 Puranas, none of them are qualified. Who can I teach it to? So, his son, Shukadev ji, was a Paramahansa. Paramahansa means someone who is totally absorbed in the bliss of formless God. Nirakar Brahm. Ved says, Dvevav Brahmano Rupe Murtan Chaiva Murtan Cha. This means God has two aspects. One single God has two aspects. Murt and Amurt. You know, these are called Murtis, right? These are Murti. It means the form of God that we've represented. So God is Murt. He has a form and simultaneously He's Amurt. Or we could say Nirakar, without form. The same God. He's the abode of contradictions, simultaneously existing opposites in the same place. How can you be both formless and have a form and exist omnipresently in both ways? Don't ask. He's God. He can do anything. So, in general, those who have attained God, they've either attained the personal form of God like Ram, Krishna, etc. or they've attained formless God. Two main categories of how someone can attain God. Shukadev ji had attained formless God. Never mind attained, he was born like that. He's a descended saint. Listen to how he was born. Very different than how you and I are. His mother, her name was Pingla Devi. Yesterday I was with Shyam and we drove by a road called Pingla Street or Pingla Road. So it reminded me of Shukadev ji and his mother Pingla Devi. So Pingla Devi was pregnant with Shukadev ji, but he didn't come out even after years. He stayed inside her womb. She didn't have discomfort, but he wouldn't be born. So after 12 years, his father, Vedavyasji, says, "Oh son, what are you doing in there? Come out." Shukadevji says, "Father, you know I've heard that as soon as a baby is born, that Maya takes over and he forgets all about God and just starts running after worldly pleasures. I don't want that to happen to me. I'm afraid of Maya, so I'm not coming out." Vedavyasji said, "Shukadev, you don't have to worry. You're already beyond Maya. Just come out." So he emerged from his mother's body. Like a shadow, you could say. Like you and your shadow. He just came out. And he was right there in his physical form. Shukadevji actually looks similar to Shri Krishna. If you've ever seen a picture or painting of him, he also has a bluish complexion. So he's a 12-year-old boy, bluish complexion, glowing, beautiful. He emerged from his mother and walked out of the hut. Vedavyasji is thinking, now what? First he didn't come out for 12 years, now as soon as he comes out, he's walking off into the jungle without saying a word to anybody. Yam pravrajantam anupetam apet krityam dvaipayano virahkatar ajuhav putreti tanmayataya tarvobhine dustam sarvabhutaridayam munimanatosmi. The Bhagavatam tells this part of the story that Shukadev is going off into the woods, into the jungle, and Vedavyasji, his father, is following behind, calling, "Oh, my son, where are you going? Come back." And Shukadevji is totally absorbed. His mind was absorbed in formless God. See, formless God is everywhere, including permeating us. So when Shukadev Ji looked around, all he saw was himself everywhere. All he heard was himself. All he smelled was himself. All he thought was himself. He was totally absorbed in formless God. So he paid no heed. Never mind paying heed. First you have to hear someone's calling you, right? Before you're going to say, oh, what? What can I do for you? The words never even penetrated into him, even though his father was nearby. And he kept walking. He passed by a pond where there were some apsaras bathing. Apsaras are celestial maidens from Swarg. Shukadev Ji just passed by and kept going. Now Veda Vyas Ji, who's quite elderly, he has long hair, gray hair matted on his head, long gray beard. He is also following behind his son, and when those apsaras saw Veda Vyas Ji, although they had paid no notice to Shukadev, when Veda Vyas Ji came by, they all covered themselves out of modesty. Drishtva nuyantam rishimatma jamapyanagnam devyo hriyan paridadhur nasutasya chitram tadvikshya prichhati munau jagadustavastis tripumbhida natusutasya vivikta drishte. Veda Vyasji, seeing this, he stopped and questioned them that my son, who's practically a teenage boy, just walked by you and you didn't have any sense of modesty in front of him, and you're behaving so modestly in front of me. Why the difference? So they replied that you could see in his eyes that for him there was no difference between a tree and a rock and a woman and a cloud, and everything was the same as all Brahm for him. There was no difference in his drishti and what he was seeing. But Vedavyasji, you were noticing that's a tree, that's a rock, that's a woman. So seeing that, we became modest. So Shukadevji was in that state. Totally absorbed. Eventually, Veda Vyasji couldn't go any further ahead. Shukadev went on into the jungle. And when it got too thick, even for him to walk, he sat down in Brahmaleen state. Leen means your mind is totally absorbed. So it was in that state that two of the young boys who were disciples in Veda Vyasji's ashram, they found Shukadevji like this. Sometime later, they were out gathering firewood in the jungle, and they found Shukadevji, and they were so curious seeing this beautiful glowing boy who's sitting in samadhi in the jungle. And they tried calling to him, they even tried shaking him. There was no reaction. So they went back and told Veda Vyasji, and Veda Vyasji said, I know who that is. That's my son, Shukadev. And now my problem is solved, because he is the one who's qualified to hear the Bhagavatam. But there's still one little glitch. He's absorbed in Brahmaleen Samadhi. He's not hearing any word. No one can arouse him. So how am I going to teach him Bhagavatam? He's not hearing anything. So let me do this. He wrote down one shlok of Bhagavat. And he gave it to those two boys. And he said, go and sing this near Shukadevji. They said, sing what? He can't hear anything. We were just screaming in his ears. There was no reaction. He said, no, just go and do it. You'll see. So they went and they sang this shlok in front of Shukadevji. Shukadev ji's eyes fluttered open briefly. How? Is one shlok of Bhagavat? Yes. In that shlok, remember, the bliss of Shri Krishna is imbued. So it was a description describing Shri Krishna walking with the cows and gwalbals through the beautiful, lush, green, rolling hills, entering into Vrindavan. And it describes how is he dressed, how are his eyes, how is his smile. Like the Roop Dhyan we were doing, that type of thing. Except Shukadev ji is already a divine personality. He's already attained formless God. So his level of Roop Dhyan and our level is very different. When he heard that shlok, he actually saw Shri Krishna for real. It wasn't just a description for him. He saw the whole thing happening and Shri Krishna looked right at him. So he opened his eyes in excitement. But then he again closed them. Why? Because he thought, he's so beautiful. He had a desire in his heart. I want to meet him. But he thought, he's so beautiful. Why would he come to me? No. He just closed his eyes, went back into his samadhi, absorbed in bliss of formless God. The boys came back and reported to Vedavyasji what happened. Vedavyasji wrote down another shlok from Bhagavat. The boys went and sang this one. Aho vakiyam stanakalakutam jighansaya payayadapyasadvi lebhe gatim dhatriuchitam tatonyam kam va dayalum sharanam vrajema. This shlok is describing his kindness, how he goes out of his way to grace somebody. He's looking for any reason to go to a soul. Specifically, it's talking about Putana. Putana had come when Shri Krishna was only 6 days old with the intention of killing him. And her plan was that she smeared Kalkut Vish, the most deadly poison, on her breast and then suckled Shri Krishna. And Shri Krishna drank the milk. But instead of him dying, Putana died. But he said, she came to me as a mother, so I have to give her my divine abode. He sent her to Golok abode. Imagine a demoness, a Rakshasi, who came to him with the intention of killing him. He found some excuse. He said, she came to me as a mother. Let me grace her with my divine abode. So when he's so dayalu, so kind, so merciful, that he would grace Putana, why wouldn't he grace us? We are his children. So that one virtue of kindness, daya, that entered into Shukadev ji's heart. One guna of Shri Krishna. This time his eyes opened for good. And he asked those boys, what was that? I want to hear more. He said, your father Vedavyasji has written 18,000 shlokas like this. It's called Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran. And he wants you to learn it. So please follow us back to his ashram. So Shukadev ji went and listened to the whole Bhagavatam from his father. What does this story illustrate is that within the divine phenomenon, there's different levels of blissfulness, although all of them are infinite. The bliss of formless God is infinite. Yet, the bliss of Shri Krishna, the bliss of the personal form of God, there's something more. Think of it like this. You have sugar cane growing out here. You can go out in the field and cut it and chew on a little bit of cane. It's sweet, right? But if you refine it, it becomes sweeter. You make jaggery out of it, gura. Further refine that into chini, white sugar. Further refine that into those little hard cubes we call mishri. It keeps getting sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, more and more concentrated. So a little bit of mishri is equal to that much cane. Something like that. The bliss of formless God, even though it's also infinite, but it's somehow further intensified and enriched in the lilas and the virtues of the personal form of God. So, just like if you have a cup of water and it's totally full to the brim, you can't put more water in. But you can put honey in there because the honey is heavier. It will displace the water. So the bliss of Shri Krishna's beauty and the bliss of His kindness was able to penetrate that state of samadhi of Shukadevji where no material world could penetrate, no material sound could penetrate. And yet that shlok, which was imbued with the bliss of Shri Krishna's beauty and kindness, those were able to penetrate his samadhi and he became totally aware. Now he's seeing and hearing and he has a desire to hear more. Now he's forgotten about his bliss of formless God and he just wants to submerge himself in the bliss of Shri Krishna's virtues and leelas. Atma Ramascha Munayo Nirgrantha Apyurukrame Kurvantyahaitukim Bhakti Mittham Bhuta Guno Harihi. The Bhagavatam tells that so great is the bliss in this Bhagavat that even great Paramahansas like Shukadevji, who were totally free from desire, free from attachment, free from anger, free from ignorance, and totally absorbed in their own divine state, they abandon that with a desire, a new desire, a divine desire, to taste the ras of Shri Krishna's leelas and his virtues. So I told you this event so that you could understand something about the greatness of the Bhagavatam. The truth is that what we're doing here today and in the next couple of days, we can get some benefit from this. From me talking about the Bhagavatam based on what I heard from Jagadguru Shri Kripaluji Maharaj. And you can get some benefit of listening to the Bhagavatam. But you see, just like at the end of the Gita, what happened? Arjun was God realized. He saw Shri Krishna in his divine form. At the end of the Bhagavatam, what happened? Parikshit went to the divine world. He had attained Shri Krishna. Will that happen to us? No. We're not qualified in that same way. I am not Shukadevji Paramahans. I'm not of that caliber of shrot of bhakta. And you yourselves can judge whether you're at the level of King Parikshit in terms of being shrota. So we're not going to actually understand what the Bhagavatam is. It's impossible. We would have to be at that level like Shukadevji. But it doesn't mean we can't get some benefit from hearing about the Bhagavatam. If we just listen with an open heart, with a desire to receive Sri Krishna's grace, and to whatever extent our mind is open, to feel a little bit of the bliss that's imbued in the Bhagavatam, then we are getting something. That's part of the process. It's part of the process of bhakti. Bhakti, the actual reason for doing bhakti is to purify the heart. So in the 11th canto, when he's explaining about bhakti to Uddhav, Shri Krishna says, yatha yathatma parimrijyat.